Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers' journey through the wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Armin Shimerman, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong. For the complete and exciting version of this podcast, please check out patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. I don't know why I'm using this accent.
I don't either. I was wondering if it was going to last the whole time.
You know what it was? Because yeah. Armin's here, I just feel like to be more theatrical with my delivery.
More theatrical.
In honor of Armin, that's all.
I see.
Well done, my boy. It is semi-posh
accent that I was using. Thank you.
I've been watching this last week, this new show called The Penguin on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And what's his name? Colin Farrell.
In complete prosthetics on his
complete face. Prosthetics, doing an accent of a kind of Gotham City, New York.
Yeah.
You know, mafia guy.
Is he killing it?
Unbelievable.
He's killing it then.
He is killing it.
Wow.
Yes. I've never seen anything quite as remarkable as that performance.
So you have to look through the credits and find out who the dialogue coach is,
Number one,
it's phenomenal. Everyone is wonderful in that show. It's well directed. It's beautifully written. It's the visual effects, blah, blah, blah. I could go on.
His performance is
unbelievable.
Well, so when you're watching, Robbie, are you lost in the character so much you don't even know it's Colin Farrell anymore?
Yes.
Like, oh, totally. Wow. Such a great job. I can't wait to see it.
And, you know, we've come from Star Trek and prosthetic shows and all of that.
Yes.
So I know how challenging it can be.
Oh.
In fact, I read that Colin Farrell asked he could only do the prosthetics 3 days in a row. He had to have a day off.
Very smart.
So they would schedule him.
Yeah.
Try to schedule him like Tuesday through Thursday and give him Monday and Friday off.
Well, that's smart of production. That's very smart of production, because if you have burnout from your lead actor, that show's done.
Yeah.
He's the only guy. You can't replace him, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you seen it, Armin?
No, I want to. We've been away, so I haven't had a chance. But it is at the top of my list of watching.
It's really, really amazing. Well, yeah, you've been out of town. Where have you been, Armin Shimerman?
I have been touring the Mediterranean.
Ah. Yes.
I've been to Crete. I've been to Cyprus. I've been to Athens. I've been to Delos, which was phenomenal. I've been to Mykonos. I've been a stopover in Amsterdam, Toronto. I was on the other side of the world from where I'm sitting right now.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Do you feel like you're back home, or are you still sort of in that
fog?
Yeah,
no, I feel back home, although suffering from a little bit of jet lag. Yeah. But one of the things I did was immediately go back to the gym and try to reset my clock. And I think that helped a great deal.
Yeah. It's tough, those big trips like that. It can be hard on the body, but what great memories
it sounds like. And it was Kitty's 70th birthday.
Oh.
And I must say, we did it up royal for her 70th birthday.
Good for you. Good. I'm so happy you guys got to do that.
The other thing, we had a little banter before you jumped on, Robbie, was that the food, when they were in port, there was one restaurant that served the food of that city or that port, which is pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? They had dishes that...
Does that make sense? It
was excellent. We ate at several. There were about five or six restaurants on the boat, and we ate at several of them. And one of the differences about this particular cruise line was that when I've done Star Trek cruises or, you know, other cruises, usually everybody sits down at the big table, and you have to eat with strangers. And if you're like we are, and we're entertainers on the ship, then you sort of have to entertain while you're eating. But on this ship, nobody's forced to eat with anybody else. They're just two tops and four tops, and your private time is to yourself.
Wow, that's nice, especially because this was such a romantic getaway, and you know, for the two of you to have some real quality time like that, and that's great. That's great. Yeah. Well, good. Well, welcome home. We're glad you're back.
Thank you.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good. All 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Guess what time it is?
What time is it, Garrett?
What time is it?
It's time to say happy birthday to Seth Carlson. January 14th is his birthday. Happy birthday, Seth.
Seth, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Seth. We also have Jeremy Gaskin on January 17th. Happy birthday, Jeremy.
Jeremy, have a wonderful birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeremy. We also have another person having a birthday. Yes. January 18th to Dat Tao. Happy birthday, Dat.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dat.
Time for poetry.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And all right.
Etymology. Okay.
I think we're going to have a musical episode.
I don't know. I feel sing-songy today.
Well, good for you.
Thanks.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Should I sing my poem?
I would love it. That would make me happy.
Okay. Let's see if I could come up with a quick tune.
You have a great voice, so please use it. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. My poem in song for Defiant. Riker came back, but it's Tom. He's working with Maquis.com. The Defiant he steals after Cisco's appeals. He surrenders himself to preserve calm.
Oh!
Lovely on many fronts. On many fronts.
Thank you.
And you edited for the song as well. I'm very impressed with you.
Yeah. It was a jingle.
Yeah,
not a song,
you jingled really. It. You jingled it. Okay.
Did you like my Riker comes back, but it's Tom? He's working with the Maquis.com.
Yes, that's very funny.
I don't know why.
I love that.
It made me laugh when I thought of it.
It's very humorous.
And for those listeners out there, I don't think there is a Maquis.com.
Yes,
the Maquis do not have a website.
They don't have. They're still trying to get funding.
Important to have a disclaimer. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. We have no affiliation with Maquis.com.
We have no affiliation with Maquis.com because I'm going to guess it's probably something we don't want to see. So, just so you know. All right. My haiku for Defiant. Here we go. Charming flirt that will. What? It's Maquis, Tom Riker? Labor camp for life. Thank you.
That was good.
All right.
That's really good.
There you go.
You guys have done much more work than I have because this etymology is very short.
Okay.
Isn't very much there for Defiant.
So you're not going to sing your etymology.
No, I am not going to sing my. This is why I live in LA and I no longer live in New York. So the Defiant. Defiant.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
comes from the old French defiant.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
showing a disposition to defy, feeling distrust.
What was the stinky
Pepe
Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew. Je suis Pepe Le Pew.
Merci. Merci, Armin, for your Pepe Le Pew impersonation.
We are
So Defiant.
Defiant.
Does that mean the word defy is also French?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Yes. Defy. Well, yeah.
Defy.
Sounds like a...
Defy. It's day. Defy.
Defy.
Defy. Interesting.
It is very interesting. The French accent.
Okay.
Yeah, it's old French. So an old person speaking French, it's appropriate.
All right. We love it. Okay. Written by Ronald D. Moore, directed by good old Cliff Bowl.
I'm rather impressed by his work on this episode. I'm really
agreed
happy with what Cliff did.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He's solid. Did you ever have the experience, Armin, where Cliff would start a master shot, do the first two or three lines, then cut? He wouldn't shoot the whole scene in a wide shot.
You know, I sort of do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember asking him, like, why are you cutting? Shouldn't we do the whole scene? He's like, I'm never going to use this wide shot for the whole scene. No.
Whenever he did that, Robbie.
All business.
Yeah. Whenever he did that, I would sit there and go, huh, That's really efficient. But at the same time, I would say, okay, if you don't want to go any further, that's on you. I would always think that in my head. I'd think that.
Now, here's the problem with that, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
I always use the master as a rehearsal. And
Oh.
always told myself, because learning lines as you get older is a little bit more difficult. And even then, I was having a little bit of difficulty. I was no Michael Dorn, but I had a little bit. And I always thought, okay, Armin, you can f up in the master. They're not going to use it anyway. I think I probably got that from Cliff Bowles. So I would do the master. Invariably, some line would come out wrong, or I'd have to ask for a line. And I thought, I can do this in the master. When the coverage comes, you should be perfect. But so not allowing the actors to have that rehearsal time on camera, I think is slightly detrimental for the actors, but good for the director and the producer because you're saving time.
Got it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's very smart. Use the master to rehearse.
I want to talk about Cliff Bowl for a moment.
Sure, go ahead.
Did you know Cliff Bowl was a script supervisor?
No.
No. He started as a script supervisor on McHale's Navy.
Wow.
So
Wow.
he
Isn't
was
that
basically
crazy?
Judy Brown or
He
Cosmo
was,
Genovese.
yeah. I feel like I did know. I did hear that when he worked with us, that he had started as a script supervisor.
Yeah, what was his first directorial project? Do you know? Because
Maybe
Perman
this the
loved it,
Six
loved it.
Million Dollar Man,
Really?
perhaps.
Oh my gosh.
I think
Cliff
that may
is
have been his first
Cliff
directing, yeah.
directed six. Oh my gosh.
He
I
directed
watched that
12
show
episodes.
religiously. I
Oh, it
would
was
have
a great
seen
show.
a Cliff Bowl episode for sure. Oh my
He did
gosh.
12 of them. Here's another interesting thing about Cliff Bowl. He did direct Charlie's Angels.
Which I watched all those episodes.
Yes.
Oh, we
He
love
did
that.
direct Fantasy Island.
Mom, another favorite show for me.
What else? He worked with Avery on Spencer for Hire. He directed that show. But here's another thing I find interesting about Cliff Bowl. He knew Rick Berman from when they had both worked at Warner Brothers. They had crossed paths at a different studio when they were both,
When
younger
Rick
and
Berman was producing Big Blue Marble, the children's show, maybe?
maybe, I don't know, but he knew him. They had crossed paths, and that's how Cliff got onto Star Trek because when
Because
they
of
were
that
looking for,
connection.
yeah.
Okay, well, that's amazing backstory. Thank you for sharing that.
One last thing about Cliff. This will be my final thing. Cliff Bowl, that name, the last name Bowl, was used for a Star Trek alien. Do you
That's
know
right, the
which one?
Bolians.
Bolian. Yeah,
Yes, the
Bolians.
Bolians
They also
were
use in
named.
Deep Space Nine the Cliffs of Bol. They say that. So
Oh,
remember
they
that I brought
do?
that up? Yeah, the Cliffs of Bol.
Oh,
I brought
yeah,
that up in
that's
an Empire
great. That's
episode.
great.
Yeah. And his directing is literally, he is the director of my childhood. All those shows you named were from my childhood. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
We
And
love
a very
Cliff.
nice man as well.
Very
Yeah,
nice
he was
man.
great. He was great. All right. Guest stars Mark Limo as Gul Dukat, Trisha O'Neill as Carinus. Played Rachel. Oh, Karina. Sorry. Trisha O'Neill played Rachel Garrett in Star Trek: The Next Generation, third season episode, Yesterday's Enterprise, and Kurok in the sixth season episode, Suspicions. Around the same time, she was considered for the role of Opaka on Star Trek.
Oh,
Oh,
wow.
DS9, which ultimately went to Camille Saviola. So Trisha O'Neill, almost Opaka.
Do you know what else about her character? So you said Carinus, but
Did
I
I say it
heard,
wrong?
well,
Uh-oh.
I heard Mark Alimo say Carinus at one
Carinus.
point.
Okay. Well, let's say
So
that
I
then.
don't know what it is. Because then when I heard him say that, I was like, oh, I've been thinking Carinus is how you say
I'm
it.
going to say
So
Carinus now. Thank
Carinus,
you.
let's go with
Yeah, let's
Carinus
go
since Mark said it.
Carinus.
Okay.
Yeah. Carinus. She also appears in another DS9 episode later on.
Oh.
Now we have, it's called The Dogs of War, and we have Shannon
That's
Cochran, as Kalita. And Shannon appeared in three episodes of TNG and DS9 and had a supporting role in Star Trek Nemesis. And she has also been on Star Trek Online as Sirella, a character Sirella. So she's done a lot of Star Trek.
Nice. I will say I thought Shannon did a great job as Kalita.
If they
But you
had
know,
given her
which
anything,
character
if
was she?
they
Who was
she
she?
was
The
the
number one on
monkey,
the
the
Defiant,
she was the
right?
pilot, yeah.
Yeah. Or pilot slash
I
number
thought
one
she
in a
was
way.
strong. I really did. It's hard to have those roles where you don't have much to say. You'd lob in some information now and then. And she felt very grounded. She was confident in the space she took up and the role she was playing. I liked her a lot.
I wish they had given her more, though. I really did want to see more from him.
Michael Canavan as Tamal. In addition to this role, he played Kurnith in Star Trek Voyager, fourth season episode Unforgettable. Oh. So we worked with Mr. Canavan. And as a Vulcan advisor in Star Trek Enterprise, second season episode First Flight. So one Voyager, one Enterprise, and this DS9.
On this particular episode,
yeah,
Shannon met Michael. They worked together. Subsequent to that, they got married.
That's what? Amazing.
That's amazing. So the two Maquis met as guest stars and ended up falling in love and getting married.
And getting married That's in real life.
Incredible.
Wow. This is this is like the television version of Mike Goo and Stephanie Baker. So I love it. I love it.
All right. Do you Alexander know? Sadig and Nana Visitor.
Yes, they got married as well after meeting on DS9. I love this. All right. Next up, we have Robert Kerbeck as a Cardassian soldier. And of course, special guest star, Jonathan Frakes. I always want to say Frakes whenever I see his name. Jonathan Frakes as Riker. And yes, everyone knows who he is. We don't have to go any further into that explanation. Here's a bit of trivia. Sisko's role in this episode is based on the 1964 Sidney Lumet Cold War thriller Failsafe, where the president, played by Henry Fonda, is forced to help the Russians shoot down an American plane on its way to launch a nuclear strike on Moscow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I once heard there are only six real stories in the world, and everything else is a variation on those, six stories.
Yeah. I'll buy that.
Well, I do want to say about Shannon and Michael.
The married couple?
Yeah. So Michael is from Virginia, and she's from North Carolina. Oh. So their cultural familiarity could have played a part in that as well.
East Coast.
Yeah, kind of East Coast. Like my family's from North Carolina originally,
but
a lot of my family moved to Virginia.
Oh,
so Virginia and North Carolina are very culturally similar. I wonder if they connected on that, you know, growing up in the same region and kind of saying,
We all know, they probably had a lot of time waiting around for shots to happen.
Yeah.
Especially when a lot of the coverage is on Jonathan. So they probably had a lot of time to talk and find out about their mutual backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go. All the stars align for them. A lot of shots, on Jonathan.
That's adorable. Right?
And then Robbie, I love the fact that you're playing a Cupid detective and trying to figure out exactly what connected them.
A
Cupid detective. That's going to be the spinoff podcast.
That should be... Robbie McNeil tries to figure out how famous people hooked up for the first time.
That's a genius idea.
There it is. Will you do podcast. That? Robbie McNeil, yes. Cupid Detective.
It's like a crime. It's kind of like a crime, you know, podcast, but it's about how did people fall in love? Why did this?
Yes. Yeah. We need a 50s jingle. Cupid Detective. He's on the case. Cupid Detective. Okay. Robbie McNeil. All right. I just helped you get Robbie.
Some marriages, however, end up as crimes. So, yes.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into this plot, shall we?
Sure.
All right. Sure. So we start in ops. I love this scene where Kira's just overwhelmed by so much going on. Dax says the Byzantium transports are arriving.
Yeah. Something like that.
Something like that. They need more space. Can Kira, you know, get that sorted out? Miles says they also want to move their conference up by a week. And Dax then says Starfleet wants a full report on the calibration subroutines. And she's exhausted.
Yeah.
I love that close-up at the end where her head's in her hands.
There were a lot of close-ups in these early part of the show. There was a lot of, not extreme close-ups, but close-ups. And they were lit in such a way they looked like beautiful photographic portraits. I was really taken with the way Jonathan and Cliff framed the shots so that the actors looked really good, really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
And speaking of the report, I'm going to have many little tiny niggling quibbles with this episode.
Yes.
Okay.
Which I like.
Well,
which I like a lot. This is the first of many quibbles.
Okay. Well,
so it's uncharacteristic of Dax to hold back that important a piece of information for so long and not to tell Kira that. It's not like they can't communicate instantaneously.
Right.
The fact that there's a report that's due from Starfleet and it's due
tomorrow,
Dax would not have kept that from not telling her.
No.
It's just places where I start to go, what? Okay. What?
Right. Mm-hmm. But then devil's advocate would be that that command just came in from Starfleet, like they're behind on their request. And so
but the way it was played was sort of like, oh, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, O'Brien knew. Yeah. It wasn't like that's possible. Yes, they could have just come in.
Okay. All right. Well, I must note that after this op scene, there was a deleted scene that they did film. And it was
really?
a conversation between Odo and Kira about Kira's exhaustion. That never made it to the actual shooting, to the actual final draft, or the final
interesting.
Cut. Interesting,
the final cut.
Final cut, not final draft, final cut, correct. Well, that's interesting.
There's not enough time in this episode for everything that happens.
Clearly, yeah.
This could have been a two-parter easily. And so I'm sure they had to make judicial cuts because of time.
Do you want to read that, Robbie?
The scene?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the original script right now. You're right. It was a security office scene with Kira and Odo.
Kira's headache is getting worse as she listens to Odo. Okay.
Here, I'll be Odo. And they shot this scene, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be Odo and you'll be Kira. Okay.
Okay. Deleted scene and action.
Someone, probably a certain bartender we know, has been using a public terminal to falsify inventory records and cargo manifests on the last three Ferengi transport ships that were here. In other words, we have no idea what they've been shipping in and out of this station for the past month.
Oh, that means we've got to open every single Ferengi container on the station.
We have another problem as well. The Tholian ambassador reported that someone broke into his quarters during the night and stole three cases of latinum.
Three cases?
It was the dowry for his wedding.
When's the wedding?
Tomorrow.
Oh. Kira puts her hands on her temple. It's getting worse. And scene. Yeah, I wonder, you're right, Armin. I see why they cut this scene is because it's just a repeat of, you know.
The last scene.
The last scene and the next
scene. Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of hitting the nail on the head a little too much. And this episode needed time for sure.
And this episode needed time. And forgive me, I really did like this episode. So during the course of this broadcast, please take into consideration I really do like this episode.
Got it.
They're just niggling things.
Yeah.
Okay. So this opening sequence that she is overworked, that she needs to have some downtime, is totally, totally forgotten.
Yeah.
The moment she and Riker hook up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I go, shouldn't there be
some residue
of that?
There should be some payoff to that. Why does it matter that she's so exhausted? Like we could have just started this episode in Quark's with Riker, you know, she's just having a normal dinner and he says, "Hey, it's me," or something. You know what I mean? Like none of that setup leads to anything.
It doesn't go anywhere. Except for one possibility, and I'll bring that up when the time comes.
Okay. All right.
But thank you for saying that you like this episode overall.
I do too.
But that you're nitpicking, and dare I use our prophet's name as a verb? You're Jason Okening it, and it's okay. You know, you're allowed
to. Thank you.
You're allowed to pick it.
Because it often took me out. I would go, wait, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
But then I would get pulled back in almost immediately. Yeah. But there was just these moments of, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't anybody catch that when they were breaking the story?
Well, but you bring up a good point. Like, I feel like whenever I nitpick on something, it's not to try to find fault in the episode. It's that detail took me out of the story, and I want to stay in it. Mm-hmm. I want to stay with this these characters and the emotions and stay on the ride. And when something feels like bullshit, you kind of go, I've lost the story for a minute.
Well said. We're in the infirmary now. And of course, Kira is there. Bashir is worried about these medical supplies that are delayed. He has to set up, I guess, a remote hospital in one of the colonies, and he doesn't have it. And he wants the use of a runabout to go to pick up these medical supplies. And Kira is absolutely against this. She says, mm-hmm. no, we can't risk this at all. But ultimately what happens is she is losing it. And Bashir calls her out. Yeah, she explodes. Yeah. She explodes. Bashir calls her out on it and just literally calls her back as if she's a petulant child to come back and listen to him. And she needs to listen to the chief medical officer because his diagnosis or his mandate overrules everything. But she listens. He says, come on, follow me, here's my prescription. And they head to Quark's. Mm-hmm. And that's where he feels she needs a little Dabo table, she needs a little possibly holodeck time, she needs a Jumja. Isn't there a Jumja stick that they put
down? He gives her like five different things and says, my prescription is you got to use two of these things right now, and you'll do this every single day until mm-hmm. you can have fun and relax and just enjoy yourself.
Right.
Great. That's and remember what you said, every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day. You're off duty is what he says to her.
Yeah.
In the infirmary. You're off duty. Yeah. Is she? We're about to find out she is.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, but they leave. She sort of laughs. She looks at the Jumja stick. She sort of laughs to herself.
Yeah.
And then...
And before you get to the then, I just want to point that this is one of my days where it took longer to get into makeup and out of makeup than it took to shoot the scene.
Yeah.
Guess what, Armin?
But I got paid the same.
Yes, exactly.
You then had six or more days off at that point.
Well, I may or may not have had them off, but yes, absolutely.
Right. Maybe you did some looping.
I had them off from Star Trek, that's for sure. Yes.
From the makeup. You didn't have to put it on. From the makeup. Yeah. That's a great day for you then. Yeah.
Well, she starts to take a sip of her juice when she hears a voice behind her as she's sitting there with her Jumja stick and her Lorvon crackers and her Carvino juice.
What is a Lorvon cracker?
I don't know.
Is it, does it cause any, I don't know. I mean, is it something that makes someone calm down a little bit? Is it no, it's just a cracker then, I guess.
Probably a Lor. Yeah. I guess she's supposed to really enjoy herself with the Lorvon crackers. So maybe they have a little extra ingredient.
But she turns and she finds something better to enjoy herself with.
She does. She turns and finds Riker behind her.
And immediately has this look
like a fangirl or something.
Exactly.
They don't even know each other.
They don't even know each other.
Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a step. What? They have no knowledge of each other? I thought she knew who he was.
Dax knows.
Dax
who he
did.
Is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She doesn't know him, but she turns as though this is, oh my God, it's Jonathan Frakes. That's what she looks like.
Yes, exactly.
So basically,
I thought the same thing.
She let her real life emotion, seeing Frakes there, a fellow Trek actor that came on the show before, right? And she's there he is. Hey. Yeah, you're right. It was too
I mean, would she know him by reputation?
That's what I thought it was, guys. I thought it was a rep thing because that's how you validate it.
But even so, it's just from the sound of his voice and what we know that he looks like.
Right.
She just turns and becomes a fangirl. And I go, especially when we know that, as we find out in the episode and in following episodes, that she has a relationship with another guy.
She does.
Burial. Yeah.
Didn't the shot of Frakes also, wasn't it a low angle, like hero angle?
Oh, absolutely.
Leaning on he was like absolutely. Superman standing there on the, you know,
bigger
leaning
than
on
Superman.
The
TNG. Yes. TNG is bigger than Superman.
I'm going to play devil's advocate right here, Armin. I'm going to say that Riker is essentially the rock star of Starfleet, that everybody knows him. Everybody knows the number one the number one right-hand person to Jean-Luc Picard. I feel this is
that's great, and I'm not going to argue with that, but
thank you.
To me it looks like she just turned and saw one of the most gorgeous men in the universe.
Yeah.
And she's heart is a flutter. That's what it looked like to me.
I agree.
He's a handsome guy, Frank.
He's a handsome guy. It's very important.
Maybe it was the effects of the Lorvon cracker.
See, that's what I'm saying. What is in the Lorvon cracker? Right? Is Lorvon an alien mushroom? That's my question.
I have no idea.
Go ahead.
Microdosing Lorvon crackers.
There you go. Yes.
Okay. We go in the commander's office. Sisko and Riker are talking. Riker's headed to Ryza, he says, for Dr. Crusher's Because Dr. Crusher insisted that he take a break. Same as Kira. So maybe that's the
Maybe.
connection.
They have not met before, because we're going to hear very soon that they have never met before.
Okay.
But I
Now
mean
here's
thematically, like,
right.
oh, Riker's been sent off by Dr. Crusher to take a break on Ryza because he's overworked. Kira's overworked. Maybe that's how they connect it. We just never see that scene. We
That's
never
right.
see the scene where
That's
they
right.
talk about
The three
working.
hours.
I have a question for Armin. Both Robbie and I would pronounce RISA, Riza, as if it was a Z, a Z. Do you say Riza as well? Okay,
Riza.
because that's not how Jonathan Frakes pronounces it. He
Risa.
pronounced it Risa. Yeah, he has a
He's
S
wrong.
sound and
He's
not
wrong.
a. But I
Jonathan's
thought
old
that.
friend, but he's wrong.
How can that be possible? Because that's what they already
Risa.
visited in TNG. So wouldn't he know the correct pronunciation from doing episodes of TNG when they went to Risa?
Maybe
I
he
don't
was in the
know.
scene with Avery Brooks. You know how Avery takes words and sort of jazzes them up a
Oh,
little?
so he started
Maybe had a
jazzing with
little
him. Okay.
Brooks vibes going on.
Maybe. I'll buy that. So thank you for being devil's advocate on me. I appreciate
Right,
it.
right.
Okay. That's my
Well,
little
he's headed to
Jason Oken.
Risa. He's headed to Risa. And he does mention that he was on the station once before, that he was in Quarks, had a great time, and
Took all
says,
my Latinum. That's
yes. And
possible. Very possible.
date with the Dabo girl.
But Sisko warns him that the Dabo wheel is a bit stingy these days.
This scene between Sisko and Riker in Sisko's office also has deleted lines. There was more to this scene. I guess it was
Really?
filmed. Yeah, let's read through that one. I'll be Sisko. Can you do a good right? Yeah, do a Frakes, Robbie. Do Frakes.
I don't really do impersonations, but
Oh, just
I'll do the
pretend you're him.
spirit of.
The spirit of Frakes, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Here's my Sisko. Is there anything I can do for you while you're here? A look around the station? Maybe a tour of the Defiant? Chief O'Brien's working on her Polaron deflector this morning. I'm sure he'd love to show you around.
Thanks, but to be honest, the last thing I want to do on my vacation is look at Polaron deflectors.
I can't say that I blame you.
Riker leans in with a grin on his face. Now, which Dabo girl is your son dating? Just to be on the safe side.
Sisko sits back with a mixture of embarrassment and pride.
So wait, that was deleted
From that scene in the
in the
office.
middle. Must
Yeah.
have been in the middle.
Does it look like a middle bit?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I can go to the original script. Let's
You have
see
it with
here.
you.
I do have it. No, it looks like it's the end of the scene.
And I'm grateful, because I think the story works a tiny bit better if Sisko isn't offering a tour of the Defiant.
I
I know, I
agree.
agree. It feels too coincidental that that's his whole plan, and Sisko's offering it up. Agreed.
It's a good delete. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we do go out into ops. Kira is distracted by Riker. Dax notices this. I love the looks between the girls. Dax mentions that she met him at Quark's playing Dabo.
And what did she do at Quark's?
She
Did
loaned
she,
him
do you
money
remember?
because he was
Because he
losing.
was losing.
Yes.
But he just said that he was winning. Well, maybe that's a clue that it's not the real Riker.
But the
Okay.
loaning, wait a minute, the loaning of the money at the end, maybe he went on a run with that
He
final
may
bit of
have.
Latinum.
Yes, absolutely. That's very possible. It's very possible.
I
But it
think
is.
it's a detail that actually exposes the fact that fake Riker didn't know that. So he thought no one would bust him on it.
But then how
Oh,
does, how, I
yeah.
mean, I realize they're the same person up until the moment that the accident happens.
Yeah.
So all their memories would be identical up until the accident. But if they are two separate Rikers after the
Yep.
accident, they can't possibly know what the other
Know all
one
the
has
same
gone
things.
through.
You're right.
So that doesn't, I thought that too until I played it through and I went, no, it's not
It doesn't
possible.
make sense. Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Small details, but also for me, the crux of this scene is basically Burial who? Is what I would say on this one for Kira.
Yes. Oh,
Right.
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Which
Again,
is
it
a
doesn't make
tribute.
sense.
I love Jonathan. Jonathan is a very close friend and he's very handsome. I've known him practically all of his life, long before Star Trek. And he is very handsome. And he deserves to be. And not that he deserves to be handsome, but what comes from being handsome, he deserves all that because his soul is more gorgeous than his outside.
Sure.
We know that.
Yes. Yeah. But the way this scene is written, you're now thinking, oh, well, Kira and Riker were intimate. That's the way I'm looking at this. I mean, did anyone else see that or no?
That's how it felt. But yes. She says, she just, so Dax says, I met him playing Dabo Quarks. Kira says, I just met him last night. And we talked, just talked. She makes a real point. We talked for 3 hours, but we just talked. And she says here, I'm involved with someone else. Doesn't feel very sincere that
Barai. Those are the words of someone who's guilty to me. Okay. Oh, really? Just covering over it. It's just like, oh yeah. No, we just talked. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I don't know. I mean, I think it could go either way.
Terry's performance is she doesn't believe that either. She doesn't.
Yes, exactly.
See? There you go.
Well, Riker and Sisko come out. This is where Dax asks, did you forget about me? And she reminds him of
right.
of Dabo and Quarks.
Yeah.
That she had to loan him money because he was losing.
Yeah.
And he covers very quickly. He says, oh, the night was mostly a blur for me.
Yes. Yes.
You know. Sisko does invite him for dinner anytime with him and Jake. I love when Jonathan leaves with the awkwardly formal major, commander.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done.
Yes, very awkward and clearly they're covering.
Come on!
Trying
yes.
to be very formal.
Professional. Being professional.
Gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
But Dax and Kira share a very knowing look at the end of it. There's more there than professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
We go out to the promenade next, and I think this is where we see Kira walking down and bumps into Riker, who's rounding a corner. And those are always hard things to do as an actor, where you're
timing wise,
where you're standing on a blind corner, and you have to kind of look at where's the dolly and time it out so that it looks accidental, but you capture it on screen. I thought they did a great job. It felt good. But they check in with each other, what each other's up to. Riker's exploring the promenade. Kira says she's heading in for the night, and then they start to head their separate ways. When Kira turns, she calls out to him, asks Riker if he would like a tour of the station. And he's very excited about this. And he mentions here he really wants to look at this new ship, the Defiant. Mm-hmm. So off they go. Mm-hmm. So the trouble begins.
And again, why they had to cut the other section out, because this would be totally different from what he said to Sisko. So that was a good cut.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We go to the airlock outside of the Defiant. It's very well guarded. They've got
Randy, who was the guard. Randy is the stand-in for Odo.
Right.
And I want you to see, if you can remember, but for those who watch this episode in the future, look at Randy standing by the door, and then look at him when they come out later, when they exit the Defiant. He hasn't moved a muscle.
Right.
Exactly.
Same
position. I think they must have shot them both right after each other.
Oh, probably. Probably.
Like not one inch of movement.
Not one
he
inch.
Stayed exactly there. Right. I love
it. And again, Randy, who was us from day one till the very end, Randy was Odo's stand-in.
Well, they do pass through their palm prints, their voice prints, all of that.
Yeah.
Tom. And
again, another quibble.
Yeah.
Not a quibble. Interesting.
Yeah.
When they do that, she puts her full palm on the screen.
Yeah.
He does this. And I thought, I have no problem with that.
Uh-huh.
But it tells me that the machine can recognize the person not just with the palm print, but from fingertips as well.
Yeah.
But I found that interesting. That why didn't continuity? Why didn't Judy say no? You have to put your.
You both have to do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is.
Well, I know. Like I have used Clear at the airport before.
Yeah.
Where you have to do your thumbprints or your eye scan.
Impossible.
And it's so sensitive.
Oh my gosh. I give up on the fingerprint with Clear. I said, just do the eyes. I cannot. Yeah. It doesn't register me. They could put some lotion on your hands. That'll work.
Yeah.
I try it. No, it doesn't. Just like Robbie, it doesn't register. This doesn't register me alive here. I feel like Clear doesn't know that I'm alive either. I'm not alive.
Well, clearly in the future, they fix these scanners because you can do it any way you want. And it seems to work.
You can go like this, like that. You can do it upside down.
You can
the other way.
High five it. You can. And inside the Bridge of the Defiant, we see O'Brien working under a console. Kira comes in, calls out his name, and he pops up. I love how he bumps his head. Is that a running thing? I feel like he's done that a number of times on this
show. He has, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I wonder if that's, well, I can tell you. I was about to say, I wonder if it's scripted, but I'm going to look and see.
Look it up.
If it's scripted. No, it's not scripted. From inside the panel, it says O'Brien's voice. Just putting a little extra work on the deflector targeting arrays. And then he takes his head out and sees Riker. Yeah, that's... So the head bumping must be...
Either Column or Cliff Bowles.
Yeah.
Cliff Bowl.
Yeah, it's great.
When do they come back out, though?
Miles comes back out.
O'Brien
comes back out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They don't come out. That's when you O'Brien comes out, and Randy hasn't moved a muscle.
He hasn't moved a muscle.
Got it. Okay.
Well, they come in. Miles bumps his head. Then he stands up, says hi. He seems happy to see Riker.
Yeah.
But Riker is not happy to see him.
No.
He says, I have nothing to say to you, O'Brien. I think you know why.
Oof.
And O'Brien doesn't. Yeah, it's ugly.
It's ugly. It's one of the few times I've seen Jonathan Frakes be ugly. Or Riker be ugly.
Riker be ugly.
Yes.
And it's not explained. And Miles just sort of takes it. The only hint we get that this is not true is when he stops outside of the airlock for a moment, thinks about it, and then continues on. But it seems to me like Tom Riker is making this up. There's nothing. Miles hasn't done anything.
We don't know. I mean, they did work together on the Enterprise, and we don't know what happened in the last moments or even after the Enterprise, for that matter.
Yeah.
Was there something that happened? And when I'm watching the episode for the first time, this time, I go, you know, is that going to play out? Is there something there that we'll find out about? And like Kira being overworked, it's just forgotten. It's just there to move the plot, thankfully, to move the plot along. And it's important that O'Brien leave the...
Yeah, I thought that was the only reason. He was playing a card of like, I'm going to pretend that something bad happened or I'm angry about something. He won't know what it is, but I'll come on so strong that he will just accept it and leave. That like he was trying to get him off the Defiant so he could.
And at the same time, playing his history that he was number one on the Enterprise and O'Brien was beneath him in hierarchy and therefore would take orders from his commander or from someone higher up, one of his officers. That all made sense to me. That was all perfectly all right. That all was right. Good.
Because it's so rare to see Riker being ugly, I'm just going to refer to it as rugly. That's
rugly.
Riker being
very ugly. Good.
Very rugly.
Secondly, Robbie, look at this. This is Thomas Riker or Tom Riker. Tom Riker, Tom Paris, both rebels in the beginning of their life cycles, basically, that when we get to see them, it's a parallel going on here.
Don't trust a Tom.
No, that's not
the lesson of this episode.
No,
that will be yes. That will be the theme.
That would be yes.
Don't trust a Tom.
That's
my theme for the episode.
Done.
Miles does leave. He has a moment of confusion, but then moves on. We come back into the bridge. They're looking at all these systems. Riker says he really wants to see how the whole system works together and has her turn on with her authorization.
Yeah.
She turns on all the systems and he thanks her, then pulls a phaser out, stuns her. Uh-oh, he's not the Riker we know and love.
No.
Something's up. And two people beam in, too.
Yes, so. Yes. I just want to say, Kira has zero luck with the Maquis. Every time she's with the Maquis, she gets stunned. If you notice that one episode that we were on the planet with Bernie, was it Bernie Casey or whoever the heck that was in that episode, that she got stunned there, too. It's just always getting stunned.
She should watch out for those monkeys.
Another quibble. Yes. So sorry. None of this episode would have happened if Kira hadn't bypassed security protocols.
Mm-hmm.
She should not have let him have access to what is basically Deep Space Nine's ship.
Mm-hmm.
If she had not done that, none of this would have happened. And yet, There are no repercussions anywhere to her making a huge judgment mistake. I
Because of
understand why she did it. That's what the first part of this episode is about, setting up their relationship. I understand that. But she screwed up. She screwed up by doing this. And there's like the being tired. She's no longer tired, by the way. In fact, she was back in ops. I meant to say this. She was back in ops with Dax saying, who's in? I thought she was not on
I
duty
thought
anymore.
Bashir put her off duty.
I forgot about
Exactly.
that. Well, clearly, after having a little horizontal lambada with Riker, that her,
And she
she
had
that
to
was
go
her.
back to Bashir and get okayed, I suppose.
Yeah, I had
That's what it
fun.
was. I had a
You
lot
told me
of
I had to
fun.
go relax and have fun.
And it
I'm
wasn't one of
relaxed.
the five, but or two of the five. That it wasn't one of those. It wasn't the jumbo stick.
I'm
Maybe
so
it was.
relaxed.
Maybe it
Maybe
was.
the jumbo stick
Maybe.
helped in that situation. We don't
Maybe.
know. Okay.
But that's really important.
Robbie,
But that
you
aside,
went there. Yes.
what a surprise to have Riker
Yes.
shoot Kira.
Shoot
Oh, what a
her.
huge surprise. That's a major, major, wonderful piece of writing.
Yes. And Kira.
Well,
Oh, sorry.
the two Maquis dressed people also beam in. We go up to ops. Riker calls ops. He says there's an accident, needs them to release the docking clamps before the core breaches. Sisko says, okay, we'll beam you out once you've cleared the station. They take off, they go to warp. Here's the
Right.
problem. When Riker calls ops, wouldn't they see the four life signs and know immediately? Because two people just beamed in into this very secure place. If Riker's calling, going, oh, there's a core breach. Me and Kira are on the ship. We're going to go make it safe. Wouldn't they say, well, wait a minute, who are the other two people with you?
Well, guess what? That job is normally Kira doing that. Look, she's the
No,
first officer,
that's
right?
Dax,
No,
isn't it?
It's either O'Brien or Dax. It's not Kira, but it's either Dax or O'Brien. Furthermore, one of the things you forgot to mention that they do mention is that Kira's been hurt.
Oh, yeah, that's
He
right.
says Kira's
There's
been
been an
hurt and
accident. There's
there's
been
been
an
an accident.
accident.
She's been hurt.
Beam her off now.
Right. Beam her off now. It takes seconds to beam her out. We know that. Beam her out, get her to infirmary now. We don't know how bad the hurt is.
But
Beam her off now.
if they went to look for life signs to beam her off, they would have seen four people on that ship. Like, yeah, that's a confusing Oaken moment that
But wouldn't you have to look for the other life signs? Or does it automatically beep on your console? Oh, there's more than two people
I
there.
mean,
There's
when we're
four.
on Zoom, it says
How many
three
participants?
participants. There's three of us on this call. It
So you're
tells me
gonna
how many
you're
people.
so you're using Zoom and you're extrapolating the technology of the future starting with Zoom? Okay,
I would say if you open up your transporter app, it's going to say how many people. There's 12 people. Which one do you want?
sorry, the
I don't
transporter
know.
app.
They make a
You
transporter app, don't they?
so you go to
Sure they do.
iTunes and you
Sure they do.
find that or
Yeah,
we
you
sell
just
them at Quarks. We sell them at
download
Quarks.
it. Nice.
The Galaxy Store. You can find it there on either Android or Apple, folks.
Exactly.
The beaming app.
Well, Sisko does agree to release the clamps. He says, we'll beam you off as soon as you've cleared. But instead, they take off, they go to warp and disappear. And they try to reach out. I think O'Brien comes
No,
in.
it's Dax. Yeah, Brian comes in, but Dax, I
O'Brien
think.
comes in. He says, I can't get a lock. The Defiant shields are up. And then it goes to warp. So, yeah. They had this plan worked out. Well, we cut back to the Defiant after they've gone to warp. We see Riker. We still think
Will Riker.
Will Riker. Thank you. It's like, which one is it? We still think it's Will Riker. He orders them to head to the Badlands. He sits down in the command chair, rips off his sideburns, and Kalida says, "You did it, Tom." I was like, "What?"
But to me, it's so silly. Whether he had those on or not, everyone would have still thought he was R Will Riker. So I started laughing. It was like, that's the one l final piece of the puzzle to make this ruse work. Like a little piece of sideburn right there.
They must have done that in the TNG episode, like had Will Riker with sideburns and his double without, so that you
Right.
could
It's very
tell.
possible. Another little quibble, and this goes right to your character,
Oh
Robbie.
boy.
Yes.
So this lady, who's the McKee pilot,
Yes.
Kalita, do we think say
Kalida.
Kalida?
Kalida or Kalida.
Kalida somehow is quite good at piloting a ship she has never been on before,
That's cutting
that they have
edge.
certainly never seen before, because
Yeah.
this is a prototype ship. And she's able to take it to warp, and
In
maneuver it
seconds.
in seconds. And I go, really?
Okay.
Really? Little pinprick, little pinprick.
Shouldn't there be like a manual
No,
that she
no,
has to refer to or something?
yes, and you're right.
This is a prototype. There are no other
Yeah.
ships like this.
I'm going to say devil's advocate. The Maquis have intercepted the actual subspace transmission of the operations manual of how to operate this thing. They've hacked the system, and so she
Okay, they're
has.
hackers.
Keep that in mind in about 2 hours when I ask you another
Okay,
question.
fine. Fine.
Okay.
Go. Let's go.
We go to the wardroom back on the station. The team is meeting there. Dukat's there.
Yeah.
Odo explains that Riker was in a trans.
Dukat's there.
Yeah.
Dukat's there. Okay. We hear from Kalida. It's going to
Yes.
be 6 hours until we get to the Badlands.
Yes.
Okay. That
Which is
sets
on our
up.
way to Cardassia.
Well, they're on their way to the Badlands, which is where the Maquis
Hang out.
settlements are.
Yeah.
Okay. Dukat either is visiting and playing Dabo with Quarks,
Coincidentally,
who coincidentally
yes.
is there during the 6 hours, that it's going to take to get to the Badlands.
Yes.
He's been invited in, and he just happens to be there
Yes.
during this 6 hour course, when I assume he's got responsibilities for
Yeah.
Central Command that doesn't keep him in Quarks all day long. That's
Yeah.
another little pinprick. I'm
Yes, you're
going,
right.
where did Dukat come from?
There's absolutely zero explanation of
Was he
how
on some
he's
kind of
there.
ship that was nearby, coincidentally, maybe?
Yes,
Sure.
you can make
Sure.
that
Let's
excuse.
buy that.
Absolutely.
Let's
Yeah.
go with that, Robbie.
Okay, well,
Yeah.
Dukat's there.
He's there.
And
But
yes.
okay, let's say he's on, I'm sorry. But
No,
let's say he's nearby on a ship, and they don't explain to him why he should leave his responsibilities on the ship and come into Deep Space Nine, because he
Yeah.
doesn't know why
He
he's there
says,
at the
yeah.
beginning of the scene. We just need you to come in. Could you come in?
You've
Could you
just come
just
in.
leave whatever you're doing and come in?
Yeah, he does.
Sure,
He listens.
let
He
me just
listens to
brush up
them
my
for a
makeup
while.
here and I'll be there.
Look,
He
Dukat
listens
was on
for
his
a
way to Ryza
while.
too. That's it.
Okay,
Okay.
everybody's on their way to
That's
work.
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's it.
All right. Well, he's there. Odo's explaining that Will Riker was in a transporter accident, and another version of him was created named Thomas Riker. And they tell Dukat that Thomas Riker might be a Maquis because he was starting to express these political opinions. And Dukat
Well,
is furious.
I'm gonna have to say, Mark
Yeah.
Alaimo, when he says Thomas Sisko says Thomas Riker is a member of the Maquis, and Mark Alaimo gives the most theatrical what? What? It was just wonderful. I loved it. So
He's very
great.
good in this episode,
He
Mark.
is
He's just,
very good in this
yeah,
episode.
he's
As I watch
juicy.
these episodes, I have more and more respect for my old friend Mark Alaimo.
Oh God,
Yeah.
he's brilliant. Okay, keep going.
And
He's really
he has
good.
to act through much more prosthetics than I ever had to wear.
What? But
Yeah.
he doesn't have teeth though.
Forget the teeth. His neck is
Oh, the neck
restricted.
stuff.
His head
Yes.
is covered up.
He's
He's in
almost
a
like,
wetsuit. His
yes.
costume is much more cumbersome than mine ever was.
Yeah.
He's got a lot more to deal with.
Okay.
Wow.
I
Well,
hear
he's
you.
very good in this.
I
Very
hear you.
good. Yeah, they tell Dukat that Thomas Riker might be a Maquis. Dukat's furious. He can't believe the Defiant is now in Maquis hands and says the Central Command will think that Starfleet wanted this all along.
Yeah.
And Starfleet, com sorry, Cardassian Central Command is going to send an entire fleet. And Sisko says, we can't go to war. Let me help you get it back. I helped design it. I was there. I know its vulnerabilities. And Dukat says, okay, come back to Cardassia and help me destroy the Defiant if you want to prevent this from,
Escalating.
escalating very
Yeah.
quickly. We cut inside the Defiant cabin. Kira's awake now. Thomas Riker apologizes. She says, you're not going to get very far. And he's very confident in this scene, in this whole plan. He's
He's
very
always
confident.
confident.
Yes.
Jonathan is always confident.
He's like, I think I'll get a lot farther than they think I will. And then there's a call. They're at the rendezvous point, so he leaves.
He didn't even lock the door, did he? He just like walked out.
Yeah, I wrote that down, and then I went, yeah. He locked the door. I just didn't see it. I mean, we sort of understand that in the scene that you just referenced.
Yeah, it seems
we know that she's locked in, but I thought he makes no effort. To make us understand that she's secured.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
But he did. So we can forgive that. We can forgive.
Well, he goes on the bridge. There's other Maquis ships that have joined them at this rendezvous point, and they're going to
other Maquis ships.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where'd they go later?
Where'd they go? Because it's just a Defiant doing all the attacking. They get some people get beamed aboard. That's we're ready to beam some people aboard.
Yeah.
Is what Kalida says, and. Although I don't ever see anybody else, but that's okay. That's
only
okay.
The two, it's Michael and Shannon, because they're lovebirds and they're married.
They told everyone
they're
they
on a cruise. They're going to the Greek islands.
They wanted their own private time, and they told the other guys to hang out in the back cargo bay, so you don't see them ever.
But what happens to the other ships?
The other ship is in the cargo bay.
The other ship is in cargo bay. That's a little hard to believe.
All right. So some other ships have joined because Tamal says the rest of the team's ready. Lower the shields and beam them aboard.
Yeah.
And then Tamal says the Maquis ships are heading for the border, Tom. Colitis. I call her colitis. That's a intestinal problem.
Yeah, please don't call her that.
Colita. Yes, so they're ready to go. Course is laid in. We cut back to Cardassia. Beautiful shot of the outside of Cardassia.
Nice map painting.
Nice map painting. We have a commander's log, stardate 48467.3. Mm-hmm. Sisko says, Gul Dukat and I arrived on Cardassia Prime. I'm about to do something which goes against 20 years of Starfleet training. Help an enemy hunt down one of our own ships.
Dun, dun, dun.
I had a nitpick here where here's Sisko in Cardassia, where there's this very fragile peace treaty. He hasn't told Starfleet anything. He's gotten no orders or permission. He's doing this all rogue. Yeah, that sort of bothered me.
And remember, he's not Picard. He's not a captain.
No.
He's not an admiral.
Yeah.
He's a commander. And you're absolutely right. He's doing this all on his own. He's risking a treaty without any direction,
approval, or support. No.
That we know of.
I think we would know about it. I think at some point he would have said to Gul Dukat, well, Starfleet Command has told me blah, blah, blah.
Because we see in a later scene, Dukat does that. I can't give you my word. I have to go talk to Central.
I have to go to the council. Yeah.
Yeah. They couldn't squeeze it in 42 minutes. They couldn't squeeze
two-parter.
It in.
Two-parter. This is a two-parter. These scenes should have been there.
I agree. Right. We go into the Cardassian war room. It looks like NORAD or something.
Did Sisko you write that down? Is that your note?
Cardassian
NORAD?
Yeah,
is that
I think
the
it
prior?
Is.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it does look like NORAD, doesn't it?
It does.
It did,
looks like
yeah.
War Games. Looks like the old movie from the 80s, War Games.
Yeah, that was on stage 4 where they created that set, the war room.
Oh, cool. Well, Dukat explains this is command central for all of their forces. And then a woman arrives and Dukat introduces her as Herinus from the Obsidian.
Sounds like you're
order.
Saying Her Highness. Kind of. Her Highness.
Yeah. She's treated
it does
like
say
that.
Carinus. That's how Mark said
Carinus.
It.
Carinus, yes. We were going to say it that way.
Okay. Well, she's from the Obsidian Order. Mm-hmm. And she rudely walks around the war room and tells everyone, lock this down, lock that down, lock that down. All the classified stuff right in front of Sisko. Like, she's not even trying to hide the fact that she doesn't trust him.
Is she being ruggly right now to everybody?
She is being ruggly.
Okay.
She demands from Sisko that he describe all the capabilities of the Defiant. And Sisko,
which is why he's there, which is what he said he was there for.
Yeah.
He begins with the cloaking information.
Yes.
And then she basically says, oh, well, I'm glad that you decided to share that. She already knew about it.
Yep.
And Dukat's angry because he didn't know about it. He's like, well, why didn't you share that with us?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't the Obsidian Order share that with us? So you start to see very quickly this conflict between the Obsidian Order and Central Command.
And we also see it in the prior episode that we reviewed, Second Skin, with Nana as a Cardassian. We see the conflict between Central Command and Obsidian Order there in that prior episode.
Well, she already knew about this. Dukat's angry. Why didn't you share it? We do learn that the cloak was only, they agreed to only use this cloaking device in the Gamma Quadrant. Only against the Founders and all of that.
And that's the only way they were allowed to have the cloaking device. If they were, it was only used in the Gamma Quadrant.
Yes.
It is obviously a reciprocal treaty between Federation and the Romulans. So the cloaking device in this episode is being used in the Alpha Quadrant. Okay, that's what Tom is doing. Doesn't the Romulans have to be notified of that?
You would think so.
Otherwise, it's going to be hell to pay from the Romulans. This isn't what we agreed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
A complicated episode.
It is. If you really break it down the way that Armin's breaking it down, you see all the holes. But I will say,
it's a great episode.
But I love the episode.
Yeah, it's a great episode. And it's a great episode because of Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the writing, for the most part, aside from these holes, is very good. Cliff Bowles has shot it really well.
Yep.
Lots of performers are doing a great job. I was riveted when I wasn't taken out of it. Unfortunately, I was taken out often, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it be interesting if the Defiant, basically, they programmed in like parental controls for your kids watching media, where it only works in the Gamma Quadrant and the Alpha Quadrant. The parental controls kick in. The Starfleet controls kick in. It doesn't work. There's no. Or the Romulan. It's Romulan technology, right?
Yeah, so Romulan.
The Romulan parental control kicks in. It doesn't work in the Alpha Quadrant. That would have solved a lot, but they didn't.
It would have helped. And then Riker wouldn't have stolen the thing because it wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked in the Alpha Quadrant. Okay.
Well, Sisko does. Admit that or lets them know that the Dominion was able to penetrate the cloaking device by using some kind of anti-proton beam. And maybe if they can figure that out before Riker attacks, then they can stop the Defiant and capture it. So Sisko's playing ball. He's doing exactly what he said.
He is.
He's giving them information freely. He's not playing games. We go back to the Defiant. They're approaching the security perimeter. Riker says go to alert. They cloak. They arm weapons. Inside Kira's cabin, she's getting very sneaky, doing something clever with the replicator. Back on the bridge, they're preparing for this battle. 5 minutes until they're in sensor range. And then we go back in the war room. They've got their buddies there, and they're going to be in Cardassian sensor range in 5 minutes. Inside the Cardassian war room, a.k.a. NORAD, they get a perimeter alert. They see the Defiant signature right up on the screen. We see a big Starfleet symbol. I love the view screens for dummies where they have like Starfleet symbols. There's our Starfleet ship. Here's our Cardassian ship.
Another quibble.
Yes.
Sorry. Yes, we see the Starfleet symbol. We know that that's the Defiant.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything else one would assume is in Cardassian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, Sisko can read Cardassian and says this doesn't look right.
Yes, he does.
That's a good pick. That screen, that really big view screen, was actually a miniature. And when they shot anyone in front of it, they shot them in front of a blue screen and used that that image
really?
To put on the miniature. Yes, that's
Cool.
Yeah,
very cool. Well, they see the Defiant signature up there.
Yeah,
it starts to attack Outpost 61. Sisko's suspicious. He's like, why aren't they cloaked? He asks for the sensor information. That's what you're talking about, Armin. So the sensor information comes up in Cardassian. Dukat tells all the Cardassian ships to follow what looks like the Defiant signature. Follow that ship into the demilitarized zone.
Yeah.
And Sisko says, no, this is a trick. This is a trick. The real Defiant decloaks at this moment and attacks Outpost 47. Yeah. Not Outpost 61. So it was a decoy. It destroys the Outpost 47. It recloaks.
Let us remember that.
Yes.
It destroys Outpost 47.
Yes.
Riker, under Riker's command,
killed a lot of people.
Killed a lot of
people. A bunch of Cardassians. Right?
Yeah.
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 But that's brushed over. Oh, yeah, 40 seconds
Right.
gone.
Right.
Yeah,
Like
the
in
whole
this,
out, the whole outpost.
it's all gone. But
That'd be like
Carinus.
you know, in the United States, there's 50 states, right?
Yeah.
So we lose one.
One
Eh,
state.
we lost one state. We don't have to.
State,
We wouldn't
yes.
do. I don't think the United States would have a problem with that if someone came in and just blew up a state.
Exactly.
Okay.
And nobody at Central Command seems concerned about the loss of life.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's Cardassian. We can understand that. But
Yeah.
I went, really? You've just lost a whole settlement.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Sisko and his words of wisdom are very, they fall on Carinus to the point that she's super impressed. I mean, she thinks he's amazing. He's figured it out. She is
She
very, very,
compliments
very, oh,
Sisko. She's
yeah.
like, "Oh, you should be commended. Super great work. I only wish we had someone here with such keen tactical instincts who could have prevented this invasion of our
Which
territory."
is a dig on Dukat,
It's a shot
clearly,
for
and a
sure.
wonderful slow burn on Michael Alaimo as he listens.
Does he
Yeah,
play it? He plays
he
it?
does play.
Oh God, I didn't even notice
Oh,
that.
and it's really
Oh,
quite wonderfully subtle, but you see it. It's a really nice moment for Mark.
I'll have to go back and watch that.
We cut back to the bridge of the Defiant. Riker's assessing the damage. They're going to head to get some repairs, I guess. They
Yeah,
talk
I
about,
guess they've been hit.
some minor damage to the outer hull. They're gonna go to a shipyard at Omekla 3. And before he can finish what he's planning on doing, we'll let that be the place that there's a big explosion.
Yeah.
Riker calls for a report. Two plasma conduits blew out. Where? Riker says. T'Mol says, Deck 3, Section 15, crew quarters.
Crew quarters. Ooh, so then
Mm-hmm.
some of more people were killed, clearly. Yes?
No,
Yeah.
no.
No, the yeah.
It's where they've been holding Kira.
Kira. It's where they've been holding
Oh!
Kira.
No, but
So
she's sneaky. She left, right?
no, she never left.
She didn't
That's why we
leave.
know the door was locked. This is what I said before. This is how
Oh.
we know the door was locked, because she can't get out. This is why she does what she does, because she can't
Yes.
get out of the crew quarters. She can't get out of her room.
Oh, I
That's why she had that
see.
panel up and she's
That's
digging
right.
in like
Okay.
just some kind of
Okay.
panel
Okay.
That
To
panel is in what? What is that panel part of? Pardon, and now I'm being a teacher. What is that panel? What was that a part of? A
replicator.
replicator. A
Professor
food replicator. A drink replicator.
Shimmerman,
Yes.
may I go to
Yes,
the washroom?
absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she was able
Somehow
to
the
turn the
replicator is
replicator.
connected to a vital system in the ship.
Here's my favorite moment of the scene. At the very end, when Riker says, "It looks like Major Kira has been busy." Jonathan Frakes, having done Star Trek for 7 years or more,
Or more.
knew how to walk from the chair down
Yeah.
to the front of the set
Yeah.
into a dramatic close-up
Yeah.
to deliver his final line of that act. It was
Without
beautifully,
looking at its marks as he walked forward.
Yes. Oh, he's a pro.
He
Oh, he's
has
a
done it a
pro.
billion
He's a
times.
pro.
He's a pro. And
So,
I'm not
yeah.
being sarcastic. He
Yeah.
is.
No,
He
he
is
is a
a
pro.
pro.
He literally
Absolutely.
is.
And he knows what he sells. He knows
Yes.
what he
Yes.
sells. He's confident in that. And it does sell. And people appreciate it.
Okay.
And I
Yes.
appreciate it.
What was
Yeah.
that reality show that he hosted that has got all the funny clips around?
Was it
Have you
Believe It or Not?
Believe It
Ripley's
or Not?
Believe It
Yeah.
or Not, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, what is it? What was his catchphrase on that? Have you ever something? It was something like, "Have you
Can't remember.
ever done something?" He had a catchphrase,
He
but
did.
yes, he knew what he
Yeah.
was selling in that. It
Yes, he
was,
did.
he became iconic hosting that little show.
I think he hosted a couple of shows, I feel.
There was one show he hosted. I don't know if it was the Ripley's Believe It or Not or something else,
Yeah.
but my agent called me one day, the second season of our show,
Yeah.
and said, "Hey, somebody reached out. They're interested in you hosting the show," whatever it was. And I was like, "Amazing. Yes,
Wow.
please."
Yeah.
And they said, "Okay, we'll be in touch and we'll talk to them." And then I didn't hear anything. And like a month later, I said, "Whatever happened to that show they wanted me to host?" They said, "Oh, they got Jonathan Frakes to do it." So I don't
You
know if it
got
was the Ripley
kiboshed by
show.
Frakes.
Oh, I
Oh.
wanted to be a host so bad.
Oh, fracas. How dare you
Fracas.
hurt Robbie and
Yeah.
his hosting career? My goodness. Okay.
I could have had a catchphrase.
You could have had a catchphrase.
Oh.
I think it would have been
Cupid Detective.
Yes,
Cupid
that's what Detective. I
I'm
was
do
about
it on
to say.
Cupid Detective.
Armin was on the same page as me. Thank you. That's his catchphrase.
Yes.
I'm the Cupid Detective.
Okay, so we cut back into the cabin after our little act break.
Yeah.
There's some damage to the bulkhead there. Kira's got some minor burns being treated by.
Doesn't she have a hole in her suit? It was more than a minor burn. There's like a whole hole in her suit. Did you notice that?
Yeah. It was a good
suit
plasma
burned
burn.
Away, but you'll notice there's no redness in the skin.
On her skin. On skin. You know, Bajorans have very, very thick skin. That's clearly what it is.
Especially up here.
Yeah.
Well, she's got some minor injuries. But whatever she did to these plasma conduits, she's prevented them from cloaking. They can't use this cloaking device.
Through the replicator.
Through a replicator. Riker's going to, he says, I'm going to bypass your sabotage. It'll take me 30 minutes.
He's so confident.
He's got them hidden inside, safely inside a nebula.
Yeah.
So they won't be seen.
Detected.
Yeah. And he says to her that he thought she would understand his fight. And she says, well, you know, a lot more people are going to die from your actions than ever did in the border raids.
Mm-hmm.
And have. We've just wiped out what settlement 47.
An entire outpost is eliminated now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they have a little argument here. Is this where she says he wants to be a hero? She does talk about that at some point.
Yeah. Which I
who says that?
Kira says it.
Okay. Kira.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this scene or another, but she does
may
get
be
onto
this scene
that
or another
point.
One. You're right.
Oh.
I shouldn't find my notes here.
Yeah, he tries to compare his fight to her fight on Bajor.
Right.
And she says, no, I fought the Cardassians because they invaded my home. You don't even live in the Demilitarized Zone. You don't even have family there. Why are you in this fight? So he's trying to compare his fight to hers. And she's like, nope, she's not going to have it. She's
I found it fascinating. And I appreciated it a great deal. This is not a nitpick. That she picks that you just want to be a hero. And that's my quibble with TNG, actually.
Yeah.
Is that everybody's a hero. Everybody's a hero. And I thought, oh, that's the writer's room having a little gotcha moment against the TNG.
The TNG tone and themes.
Ira and some of the others were TNG.
Yeah.
But Ira was always an iconoclast, so he was always fighting those fights. But I thought that's the writers deflating the balloon of heroic activity in TNG characters.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing to show us that. We haven't seen him be a hero up until this moment. If anything, it's been just the opposite.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, we go back inside the war room, aka NORAD. Sisko's trying to figure out the next move. Dukat is not paying much attention. He's thinking about his son's birthday, he tells Sisko. He promised to make time for his 11-year-old son, do something special on his birthday. And Sisko and Dukat kind of share a bonding moment here. They talk about the work that they do and how it affects their kids. Talks about Jake and Sisko says, you know, I hope someday they'll when they grow up that they'll understand why we did what we did.
Yeah.
And the scene ends with Dukat saying, you know, all my son is going to remember is how a Federation officer invaded his home, and he'll look back at all of that with hatred. And that's so sad. So, yeah.
Some of the best writing in this episode, and there's a lot of it. Some of the best writing
this
in this
scene.
Scene.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Sisko Dukat stuff.
The show is always about family. And here again, we have an interjection of Dukat's family. Sisko.
Yeah.
We've been watching Sisko and his family, but of Dukat's family and the warmth that he has for them.
Yeah.
Family was always a major theme on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to just say for Marco Limo, if anyone else was playing Dukat and going through this scene talking about his son, I would say, yeah, whatever. But with Dukat, when he's talking about his son, everything, every line, every bit of dialogue out of his mouth is literally electric. Like, I'm just sitting there, I'm waiting on bated breath. I'm like, is something else going to happen right now? It's like, that's going to be really messed up right now. But he's just telling a
story. It was full.
Story. It was,
the performances were really full.
Yes, yes.
And the writing is strong. And I liked it a lot.
Agreed.
In fact, and this is going to be a bit of a spoiler for me, but this scene of Sisko and Dukat sort of bonding over common experiences.
Mm.
I wish we had seen that with Kira and Riker, because this whole romance, relationship, whatever, feels so shallow and unmotivated to me. I'm not sure. That's why I thought, oh, they're both workaholics. That'll be the thing that they're bonding over. Like, but they never do. Like, we never see them have a scene like this,
right,
where they connect on some level. We go back to the Defiant bridge. First, we see space, and the Defiant cloak is now working. And
they fixed it? Wow.
Yep.
Well, you said 30 minutes. So 30 minutes obviously have gone by, and they fixed it.
All right.
They fixed it.
It's all those people on the Defiant working overtime that we haven't seen.
That we haven't seen. Exactly. The dozens
fixing all
of
the
people.
Replicators, by the way, on the station so that it doesn't happen again.
Yes, exactly.
Not on the station, not on the Defiant. Sorry.
They're heading to the Omega shipyard, and Kira wonders, why are we going there? To Omekla 3? And Riker says they're building a fleet to attack the Maquis. The Cardassians are building a fleet to attack the Maquis. And Kira's kind of digging at Riker in the scene. Like, he's not a very good terrorist. This is where she says, you know, you're just trying to be a hero. If you were a good terrorist, you would just attack them at every outpost until they begged for surrender. Mm-hmm. Terrorists don't get to be heroes.
Right.
And this was a nice scene. I mean, it was a conflict scene. It wasn't a bonding scene. Mm-hmm. You know, it was definitely a scene about the conflict between them and the different points of view. But I like this hero idea for sure. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And yet, again, not a quibble, just a comment. And yet, in my opinion, biggest hero on the show is a terrorist. And that's Kira.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Kira is the hero of the show. There are many heroes, but for me, the main hero is Kira. And she was a terrorist. And here's one of the few times she actually references her past life where she was a terrorist, where she killed people and blew things up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We go back to the war room after that Kira Riker feelings moment and hero discussion. We go to the war room, aka NORAD. Sisko sees that each attack was designed to draw them away from one sector, the Arias sector. And Dukat starts to order one ship to go see, but then Carinus says, nope, no ships are going there. Carinus has been kind of quiet for a while, but now suddenly she's got very strong feelings.
Oh, yeah.
She says that sector is under control of the Obsidian Order. He defies her, basically. He's going to send a ship there to see what's going on. She says they will destroy any ship that enters the what's it called? Arise system. Any ship, Cardassian, Starfleet, nobody's going near there.
You know, you just Obsidian Order. It's just so long to say. I feel like when it comes to Cardassians, they're very efficient. They just should call it O squared. That's it. Okay. Cause it's too much.
O squared.
Uh-oh. Yes. Uh-oh. Is
the
it
the uh-oh order?
Uh-ohs. Yes. Love it.
After a little break, we come back in the same spot. Dukat is re-entering NORAD, aka the war room. Mm-hmm. I love this opening shot at the top of this act. It's a high crane shot. Yeah.
Very high.
The whole thing. And it falls right down into a two shot into the dialogue. Beautifully, nice. Beautifully, simply designed, but it's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Dukat says the Obsidian Order is not sharing information with anyone. And that's when one of the soldiers, Cardassian soldiers, says the Kraxan, the ship called the Kraxan, just sent a message. They found an unusual neutrino signature. Could be the damaged Defiant.
Mm.
And Sisko says, well, if it is the Defiant, they're in a position to head straight to the Arise system. And Dukat still doesn't want to pull away ships from other sectors just to chase a neutrino signature. So he's not quite convinced. He'll send the one ship, but not all of them. Now we go back to the bridge of the Defiant. Riker's preparing to make a run for the Arise system. Kira warns him that they're going to see your warp signature. They're going to send all of Cardassia's fleet is going to chase you. And Riker says, well, they can chase as much as they want, as long as they don't catch me.
Very confident.
Very, very confident, as Jonathan Frakes does very well.
Yes.
Confident charm.
He's a hero. I'd like to see him play a non-confident character, like in the live
action. Oh, it'd be interesting. I wonder like if he ever really did that.
Like really meek and like, just like frail and, yeah.
Timid and scared.
I never saw him play timid and scared, but I have seen him play a non-confident character.
In a play?
No. In a TV show.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Care to and, share?
What was it? Because we both did it. It wasn't Buffy. Nathan Fillion's show, about the detective.
Castle.
So he directed an episode of Castle, and he put himself in the episode.
Wow.
And he played an actor who was on a science fiction show signing autographs.
I love it.
It wasn't timid and scared, but he was not the hero for Riker that we know.
We're used to.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Well, back in the war room, they do detect this warp signature. Dukat orders all the ships to give chase now. Dukat's all in. He thinks he's found him. Back on the bridge, Tom Riker sees he is being chased, but they're not going to catch him until they're in the Araya system. And he wants, once they're in the Araya system, to do a full scan of the system. And that's important. The scan is important because it's going to be some leverage later on.
Yeah, he wants that scan done now before they reach the system.
Before they reach it, yep. They're close enough that they can get all the information they need. Hmm. And I guess the Defiant has better scanners than other ships.
Clearly. Another quibble, which I will get to in a moment. A major quibble.
Okay.
Right. Okay, well, Dukat tells Carinus to report that, you know, he could have stopped. Dukat could have stopped all of this if she hadn't prevented it.
If she hadn't interfered, yes.
Yeah. And she seems very confident now. She's got the Frakes confidence. Yeah. She's like, they're never going to reach Arias.
Yeah, she says, they will never reach Arias. Yeah. You can count on that.
Oh, she's pulling a Riker right now.
Very confident.
Very confident. And that's when we see three more Cardassian ships arrive. And Dukat is surprised by this. He's like, well, that's not our ships. That must be the Obsidian Order, right?
Right. They appear in the Araya system.
He doesn't make that assumption. He says to her, whose ships are these, Carinus? He doesn't know if it's Obsidian or not.
Yeah, he doesn't.
His line is, whose ships are these?
Yeah.
Does she just smile? Isn't that? Doesn't no, she's, she just?
She doesn't say anything as far as my notes say. But Sisko does speak and says, I thought the Obsidian Order didn't have any ships.
Correct.
Yeah.
Dukat says they're not supposed to. They're explicitly forbidden to have any military ships of any kind.
Yeah.
And Carinus just smiles superiority is what I wrote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Carinus pulls a double Riker is what she does.
She does.
Super confident.
Very confident. Well, back on the Defiant, Kira's telling Riker that he doesn't stand a chance. It's suicide. And an experienced Starfleet officer would know when to retreat, that this is a suicide mission. And he says, well, maybe Will Riker would do what you're saying, but not me. He's not going to do it.
Not Tom Paris Riker.
Mm-mm. That's right. And then she's kind of calling his ego out here a little. She's like, oh, you just want to set yourself apart. Yeah. You just want to be known as a hero.
No, this is the part we were talking about before, right? Where
she
calls him out. Oh, this is another call
this
out.
This is where she says you want to be held differently than Will Riker.
Than Will Riker. You want to set yourself apart.
You want to make
you
it
be
own
even
name.
More of a hero than him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it seems to get to him in his performance. Like she's starting to crack his armor a little bit with these repeated sort of, you know, debates.
And one little quibble that just going back a little, because you're talking about she's getting to him and you're absolutely right. Why is she on the bridge? If you knew that she had already blown up part of the ship through a replicator, what damage could she do on the bridge where the real controls are?
Yeah, where the real controls
Why would you keep her on the bridge?
He did
with
intentionally.
Only two other people there who, as far as we know, have no phasers. No.
Why don't you keep her with the 25 people that you beamed over down in the cargo bay or wherever?
It's a very simple answer, both of you, because they had Nookie a day ago. So that's why.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Well, go back to the Cardassian war room. Sisko tells Dukat he should offer Tom Riker, a surrender.
Yeah.
And that way Dukat can learn what is in the Defiant sensor logs, mm-hmm. what the Obsidian Order is hiding.
That's the trade, right? The sensor logs for the scapegoat, which is Thomas Riker. Mm-hmm. And then the double deal is he cannot be sentenced to death, was what Sisko comes up with.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to get to this in a moment. Yes. Keep going.
Yeah. He says Riker, Sisko says Riker will accept this offer of surrender to save Kira's life. He mentions that in the scene, which I thought was interesting. Like
Sisko says that?
Sisko says that.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Riker's already shot her. Oh, he does. Well, he doesn't know.
He will.
Okay, He doesn't know that.
Armin, you're.
Dukat says, I'd be happy to accept his surrender, but I doubt he'd be willing to hand over his logs. Sisko goes, well, he will if you agree to release Major Kira, the ship and the Maquis. Major Kira, the ship and the Maquis.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
With the Maquis to be turned over to the Federation to be tried. I mean, that's the other part of the deal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sisko says he'll try and get Tom Riker to agree to all of this, but only if Dukat can promise they won't execute him. So that's the final. Yeah. The final.
And this is coming from a man who may or may not have known Riker for a long time. I'm not saying he hasn't.
Right.
But there's no footage that shows us that they've had a long relationship.
No.
But he understands where Riker's going to give up his life. He understands it. And turns out he's right. But that one, again, little tiny pinprick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting because Dukat, after Sisko says, let's make sure that he doesn't get the death sentence, it's Dukat that says, well, I'll have to clear that with the Ministry of Justice. So Dukat is looking, he's the obedient Cardassian. He's going through the right channels, whereas Sisko is just, he's the maverick, a rebel.
Yeah.
The Federation knows nothing about what he's doing right now.
Well, we go back to the Defiant Bridge. They're approaching the first cruiser when Thomas Riker orders them to fire. They take that one out, but then three more ships arrive. So now there's five Obsidian Order ships in front of them, 10 Cardassian fleet behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Riker says, resume course. That's when Dukat and Sisko call. And Dukat offers the surrender to Riker, says no one will be harmed. Riker doesn't understand why. He asks why. And Sisko says, Dukat wants the sensor logs.
Mm-hmm.
But also someone must pay for this. And Riker says, me? He knows it's him. And Sisko says, yes, but you won't be executed. You'll just spend your life in a labor camp. Riker needs to think about it for a second. And that's when Kira, encourages him to surrender, that this mission is over. Don't kill your entire crew. And so Thomas Riker agrees.
Yeah.
And he's going to surrender to the ships behind him. That's Dukat's fleet. Go surrender to the first ship behind you. And Dukat says they'll surround you with their shields. They'll protect you from the other ships. So Riker reverses course.
Kalida
mm-hmm.
and Michael's character had been part of this mission from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No discussion with them about whether they want to surrender this mission.
No.
Mm-mm.
No discussion with the other people on the ship who we haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all up to Riker. And the other two who have risked their lives and have gone along with everything that Riker has suggested, mm-hmm. nothing to say, are you okay with this or do you want to go on? I mean, it's been a suicide mission ever since they were being followed. Kira had a scene where she told him, you're not going to get through. She did that 10 minutes ago. And they've agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing, no discussion with the other. That's why I'm saying at the very top of our show, I said, I wish that she had been given, Kalida had been given more lines. This mm-hmm. is certainly a place where I would have liked to have heard
to
what
hear
her
that.
Thoughts were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. Riker says, laying a course for the Kraxen. They start to reverse course. We cut down to the war room and Dukat sees the ships that were in front of him, basically the Obsidian Order ships. Mm-hmm. And Dukat says, those are faster than any Keldon class ship I've ever seen. What is going on in that system? So clearly there's this implication that the Obsidian Order has some major secrets going on there.
And they have a shipyard. They have a shipyard on that planet in the Uriah system. That's what they have. And they're building the most advanced, fastest, most deadly Cardassian warships possible that no one has ever even seen these capabilities. So,
But someone has seen them. Someone has seen them. The Defiant, yes, of course. The Defiant has seen
them. The Defiant has scanned them.
The McKee that saw them.
they knew it.
Set this mission.
Outpost 47 saw them, but they can't talk about it.
They can't talk anymore. No. They're vaporized.
Back at the Defiant, they do rendezvous with the Kraxen inside the war room. Dukat says, you know, they're not going to fire. These Obsidian ships are not going to fire on a Cardassian ship. They can't.
He knows that because the Obsidian Order is not supposed to have any ships whatsoever. So he knows that the Obsidian ships that don't exist are not going to fire.
Not going to fire on their own Cardassian and create a civil war. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Obsidian ships move off. Riker sends the sensor logs to the Kraxen, and then he turns command over to Kira, and she promises to try and get him out, try and help him because she's in love, even though.
Why?
This is, one of
my this is not a nitpick. This is a huge problem for me.
Why?
Why does she say, I'll get you out. Don't worry. We'll get you out. He has killed off Settlement 47. He has stolen a ship. He has broken all the treaties that exist.
He shot her with his phaser.
They've argued for 40 minutes.
But she's going to try and get him out.
But they had talked for 3 hours. They talked for 3 hours on Deep Space Nine.
Remember, talked, okay? I'm just going to say right now, this was the best nookie that Kira has ever had. Barayo is nothing in comparison to evil Riker or to Thomas Riker.
I'm sorry. I just could not buy, but we'll get you out.
Okay.
Everything I felt very Odo-like. I went, that is not
that
right.
That is not happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
He deserves, he may not deserve death, but he does not deserve to be freed or rescued. Yeah. He has committed crimes and he should pay for them.
Yeah.
He also doesn't deserve to give her the classic Riker kiss that he gives her when he wraps her up.
And she doesn't object at all.
After
being shot by him, all the arguments, she doesn't, she's quite capable of pushing him away. She doesn't do that.
No.
And I'm going, oh, that's the Riker effect.
That's the Riker effect.
Stronger than any phaser that we know.
Here's the other Riker effect.
She's been Rikered.
Yes.
Here's the other Riker effect. So they have the kiss. Thomas Riker beams out. Kira goes over. She's been given command. She goes over to the command chair, sits down. Did you notice how she sits? It's like Frakes. A little manspready, a little like.
Oh, nice.
She's taking
on his characteristics, his physicality.
She takes on like the Riker style when she sat down in the command chair.
I gotta say, if that was the thought process of Nana Visitor herself and prepping for that final scene, I think that's great. I love that.
I would venture to say
you're right, Garrett.
Yeah.
I would venture to say, knowing what Nana thinks about her character, that might have been thought out by her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a choice, a good choice. Yeah.
Did either of you notice that there were some changes in the Defiant Bridge set at all? So Jonathan West, the DP, had made some requests for different paint schemes and different lighting points inside the bridge because he felt that would make it look better and for the episode.
Yep.
And this is the beginnings of it, of him being satisfied with that bridge and having the perfect lighting, basically.
Great.
Now, before we leave the episode, I want to talk about another major quibble that I had.
Okay.
So why does Riker get a soft sentence? Why is the Defiant returned to Starfleet? Why did the crew get pardoned? Because the Defiant has sensor logs of the Obsidian Order's work in this area.
Mm.
Okay. That's what they're saying. Now, my question is, and really boggled my imagination, we know that Dukat has sent 3 cruisers into this area.
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't their sensors pick up the same information?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, because they have cruisers right there.
That's a huge hole.
Close enough to protect the Defiant when it turns around and and hides
So
with it.
what are they, why are they not picking up the same information that is such a huge poker piece in this negotiation? That Ducat is a smart man. So is the Obsidian Lady. Well, she wouldn't be it, but Ducat is smart enough. I'll just send my ships in and get that information, and we keep Riker, and we keep everybody, and we keep the Defiant, and find out how that tough little ship operates. That's what would happen in a military exercise. If you capture foreign people's aircraft, you want to investigate how they work.
It does seem strange that the Defiant was not in a particularly special spot to get the sensor information, because the fleet, Dukat's fleet, was
Is
right
right there.
behind them, so they could have gotten the same thing. Okay, all
There are
right.
also just a little quick little factoid. Quantum
Yes.
torpedoes are used for the first time by a Federation starship in this episode. We never see a quantum
Oh,
torpedo until
it's a
this
tough little
episode.
ship. She's a tough little ship, the
Quantum
Defiant.
torpedoes. Wow.
Although you can access the cloaking device through the replicator, but it's a tough little
Yes.
ship.
But she's a tough little ship.
It's funny because Thomas Riker calls it a tough little ship. William Riker calls it a tough little ship in the feature film Star Trek: First Contact.
And right here and now, Quark calls her a tough little ship
Yeah,
as well.
Quark as well, right? Yeah.
Wow. Well, there you go.
But I like this episode a lot.
I
I
did
do.
too.
I
I did
do.
too. I really did.
Well, yeah, I it's interesting because Frakes says that he always felt that the character of Riker, Thomas Riker, should have returned to DS9 and that there should have been an
Of
episode
course
where
he did.
Kira fulfilled her promise to rescue
Of
Armin.
course he
The
did. Of
producers,
course he
however,
did.
seemed to be uninterested in finishing the story arc, as in the fourth season pitch letter to freelance writers, Tom Riker appeared on the list of subjects that they were not interested in hearing about.
That's
It's
funny.
like, wah, wah. Yeah.
I don't know if they had the same qualms that I did, but he needs to pay for his crimes.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He's not a
He's a bad
hero.
guy.
Yeah.
No. All right, let's talk about theme, lesson,
Yes.
moral of this episode. Robbie, what do you have?
This was a tough one for a theme or a lesson for me, but here's what I wrote down. Sometimes being a real hero means doing things differently than you first planned. So sometimes, I might think, oh, I know what I need to do to be a hero in this situation, or to have the right outcome, the just outcome. But along the path, I might discover something where I gotta make a change. And it's important to be able to recognize, when you need to sh change course. And I think
Okay.
Tom Riker realized that. That's the lesson to me.
Okay. Great. Armin?
I also have a theme that revolves around a hero, but it's a different tact. Jonathan Frakes makes the ladies swoon. And no matter the Riker, he has all the essential qualities of a hero.
I thought you
I
were going to
like it.
rhyme with swoon.
Swoon?
Yeah,
He has
because
all
I
the
thought he has
essential
all the essential qualities of a buffoon, of a
qualities
buffoon.
of a goon. I don't know.
A goon or a buffoon, one of the two. Okay.
Yeah,
I
but
like
I
it.
think hero is what I'm aiming at.
What you're
He,
going for.
this
Hero is the
he
theme.
is a hero. And we can forgive him all the little nitpicks that I've gone on about because he is a hero, and we feel that in our bones. And it's not just a character, it's the way Jonathan plays him as well.
Okay, my lesson comes from Kira. Basically, and I'm going to say, don't let your emotions rule you, and those emotions being passion, because that is what made her gaga. That's what made her ignore all protocols and allow him to have command of the Defiant. So yeah, don't let your emotions rule you, because sometimes we can get swept away by emotions, especially passion. Okay. Well, our Patreon poll theme slash moral slash lesson of this episode is submitted by Paul J. A good leader knows when to quit while you're ahead, especially if others are involved. I
But
kind
he's
of like
not
that, Robbie, a
ahead.
little
He's not ahead. He's like at the
bit.
bottom. And one last question, not a nitpick, just a question. What did Riker want to do with the Defiant if he had not been
Was he
stopped?
going to go try to s destroy the Obsidian Order's secret shipbuilding? That's what I thought.
I don't know.
I thought he
See,
was headed
I think
there.
that's right, but I hadn't gone that far. I think you're right. But they must have, if they knew what was being built there, obviously they must have known it was a slightly suicide mission.
All of them. Yeah. They all must have signed up for a suicide mission. Yeah.
But well, thank you. Yeah. That I couldn't figure out what it was, and you spelled it out. Thank you.
Okay.
I think so. I think they had some intelligence that there was you know, these ships or weapons being built in the sector that were going to help, you know, help the Cardassians in
defeat
some way.
Defeat the outposts.
The outposts, I think
the keep outposts, yeah. I think you're right. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you, Armin Shimmerman, for joining us.
Especially sorry to be such a bugbear.
But you like the episode.
To be a curmudgeon.
Yes.
But you like the episode.
I did like the episode.
I did too.
It had a lot of wonderful elements. Mm-hmm. I love the pace of it. Thank you, Cliff Bowl. I love the performances of everybody in it. I love the fact that I had a quarter of a day's work. I love that.
So much to love.
It's a very powerful story if you just squint and don't pay attention to
the Yes. Yeah, exactly.
I hear you. Well, yes, thank you so much to Armin for joining us for this recap and discussion of Defiant. Join us next time when Armin will be joining us again for the episode Fascination. So thank you for everyone for tuning in. For all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. And that bonus material is going to include Mr. Jonathan Frakes himself. Frakes himself will be joining us for an interview about his
Frakes?
Experiences.
Tom Frakes or Will Frakes?
Well, let's see. We don't know. You know,
we don't know.
We'll find out when we get to that point. But he's going to be joining us for an interview about his experiences filming this episode. So, you know, if you're not a Patreon member, I highly, highly recommend that you go to patreon.com/the Delta Flyers. And for as little as $3 a month, you can get that bonus material and help support this podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you next time.